thought that spiritual train of thought we've been in. Seeing is believing, seeing is becoming. Do I have the first two right? Now seeing is doing. And doing is a big part of our focus, whether we like to admit it or not. Everything around us in the world is conditions us that way, to look at works and to accomplish more works. And we need to really just understand God's perspective on it. And really, when we come into greater revelation, we're going to find greater works, but it's going to be less striving on our part and more an experience of the rest of the Lord. When it talks about in Hebrews entering into his rest, it's not speaking of a place of passivity. It's rest from the soulish striving, from the human mind being in control of things. It's a place of rest to where God himself can manifest his works through our lives. And that's what we all want. When we're talking about works, one thing that often is overlooked is the motivation behind. You know, you can read tons of books out there of how to do the works. You know, everybody wants to find out, how do we perform healings? How do we do this? How do we do that? And a lot of good things being expressed. But how many books do you read about what's motivating your heart for the works? What is motivating us? Is it born out of the same desire that Jesus had? A desire to behold the Father, and out of seeing him, the works flow forth? Or are we doing the works to be seen, either by God for some approval that he's already given us, or are we doing works to be seen by others as spiritual or great people? So that motivating factor is very important, because the self-motivation is very much rooted in the human ego. And as long as the ego's alive and we're not motivated for the glory of God, the problem is we can be doing great, good works, but the fact that the ego is alive and there's that selfish motivation, we're being blocked from the perception of seeing what the Father's doing. So the more that we can experience and let go of the ego and the control of our mind, and then you find out that God is not impressed by what you do, how well you do, as our motivation is purified, the realm of heaven opens up and we can see clearer and clearer. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I'm not going to turn there. John is expressing, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. In the verse above, he says, and the life was manifested. And these verses are very powerful, because what John is expressing is really the way ministry worked or flowed in those times. It wasn't the labor that we experience today. It wasn't the mixture that we have today of gift of God surrounded by a lot of ego. And yes, glory goes to God as long as I get some of it for myself. There's such a mixed bag we have out there today in the church world, right? And in our own lives. But the experience with the risen Lord was so real to them. And that's what they were expressing. John is expressing. What we've seen, what we've perceived. He wasn't talking about seeing a physical Jesus. He was talking about being aware of the risen Christ, what we've heard in this realm. In other words, he's saying, heaven's been opened to us. And because of that, we can proclaim it to you, and what we proclaim is life being manifest to you. That's what ministry was all about. That's what the Lord wants to restore in this hour. That's what's going to replace all the striving and our minds being working overtime, trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing for God and how to do it. So much frustration that we've lived with because it hasn't been the life being manifest. Or if it has been, we're not aware of the life being manifest. And we're trying to work something up in our flesh because we think nothing's happening. As we're able to see and hear clearly in the realm of heaven, the proclaiming will just flow out of that, and it'll be a proclaiming of Christ with authority. And that's something the world is going to be changed by. The world has not been changed by doctrine. The world has not been changed by correct doctrine. But that living word expressing the risen Lord There's nothing that can stand before that. That's what we're called to be and express. In John chapter 9, don't turn there. I will have you turn to a few scriptures, but not yet. It's a miracle where that person receives sight. And the whole chapter is devoted to this miracle. First, he receives his physical sight. And then if you really read the chapter closely, you realize he received also spiritual sight. Because in, I think it's verse 38, toward the end, it says he worshiped Jesus. Now, when the chapter begins, he really doesn't have a clue who Jesus is. He's just happy he can see. But as he goes through that chapter and just all the things he has to face and just the tension with the Pharisees and their basic assault on him, you know, questioning the miracle and people wondering, is this the same person that was born blind? Really, he's humbled through the process. But the end result is his spiritual eyes are opened also. And that's the thing. Our physical eyes can be opened with a touch from the Lord's power. Spiritual sight comes about because we're willing to humble ourselves. And in that process of humility, God is able to open us our eyes to see his realm, through his realm. Now, the Pharisees were not willing to do this. And in the end of the chapter, Jesus said, because you claim to see, your sin remains. There was something in them where they would not humble their heart and admit that they could not see what was happening. And Jesus said, because you take that stance and you're rigid in your mindset, your sin remains. I thought that this is very interesting. He was saying, what is sin? Separation from God, missing the mark. What Jesus was saying is, here I am, the greatest change agent the earth will ever know. I can transform anything, but because you will not let go of the arrogance of your thinking, that state of sin and separation from God remains with you. You're not going to break free of it. And here was a man that didn't have a clue who Jesus was touched by him, healed physically, but was willing to let go of his thinking, willing to humble himself. And he experienced a transformation deeper than just physical. When it comes to the carnal mind, it's very difficult to change, and I think it's a worthless struggle to be always fighting with our thinking. We can't change the way the mind is. We can change our relationship to our mind. Here is the power. When we humble ourselves before the working of God in our lives, before the Holy Spirit, you're saying, okay, I'm not struggling with my thinking, but by humbling myself, my thinking is no longer on the throne. When we humble our heart, the control the mind has had over us, we're released from it. And Jesus Christ becomes that head. That is the key of transformation in spiritual sight. Romans 7, Paul is describing his struggle with himself. Things I want to do, I find I can't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. What is he describing? The human struggle, the problem with our thinking. But the difference was, Paul says, who can save me? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. He had human thinking that he was wrestling with, that was bothering him, but that thinking didn't control him. That thinking was not on the throne of his life. Paul, who we see as this mighty apostle, was willing to humble himself under the hand of God and changed the relationship he had with his thinking. And because of that, he says, yes, I have this struggle, but he also said, I have the mind of Christ. He had revelation. He was tapped into that heavenly realm where he could see what God was doing. So his mind could not stop or hinder the will of God from being done through his life. This is important because we look at things and saying, well, I just can't stand the way my mind gets, and I just got to get rid of it. And that's a trick of your mind. Get you struggling with yourself and your thoughts, and all you do is have more thoughts to struggle with, right? The Lord is saying, I'm in a different realm, and my realm is in you. Your thinking is not to control your life. The mind of Christ is to control our life. So how does a change happen? We humble ourselves. The Pharisees wouldn't do this. They looked at Jesus and said, everything we've known is right in here. You're challenging what we know. Remember, Jesus would heal on the Sabbath, and they just would struggle. How can a miracle take place when the Bible says, our law says, thou shalt not do it on the Sabbath? They were rigid in how they looked at things. And what they didn't see was they weren't just holding on to truth. They were holding on to their own pride and arrogance. They weren't willing to accept the process of death, burial, and resurrection with regards to their thinking. And that's really what it comes down to for us. When we're challenged in our thinking, when the rigid state of our mind is challenged by the Spirit of God, we have an opportunity to humble ourselves and say, Lord, your thoughts are greater than my thoughts. And in that process of humility, the mind loses its control over our life. There's a death that takes place. And although the Pharisees resisted, you can see many other examples of men and women that walked with Jesus that didn't. And they experienced transformation down the road. This quote by Woody Allen, someone shared it with me. You know, he goes, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. And that's kind of it. It's kind of like we say, well, yeah, we want the death process. I just don't want to be present when it's taking place. You know, it's painful. But we need to be present, and we need to recognize that it's the Holy Spirit freeing us. Where the mind has dominated and imprisoned us, the Holy Spirit's purpose is to free us. We can move freely in the realm of heaven. Okay, this is the realm of seeing in God's realm. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start with verse 9. This is what the Holy Spirit does within us. It's just follow with me. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, our minds can't hold it. We can't understand it. What God has prepared and has for us is beyond what our human understanding can contain. We can't wrap our minds around it. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. In other words, we don't have the human capacity to grasp and receive these spiritual things. You think, well, how can that be? I love the spiritual things, the promises and blessings. The very process of how God works, God is Spirit. Our minds, in their carnal state, fights against it. Doesn't Romans 8 talk about that? It's enmity against God. It fights the reality of the Spirit. You may say, well, I want this blessing or this promise from God, but I'll guarantee you, your mind will fight the way that God tries to work that promise in your life. Right? So what do? We realize that our mind can't take us where we need to go. That's why he put his Holy Spirit in us. It's the Spirit that searches all things, even the depths of God. Verse 12. Now we will receive. No, wait a minute. We have received. Not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. That's powerful. We have received the Spirit from God, that we might know, might have revealed to us, that we might experience what's been freely given to us. See, God's realm has been made available. But we have to see it. The Spirit has to open our eyes. And when our eyes are opened by the Spirit, we know what we possess. And if it hasn't come by the Spirit, then we can sit there and yell at the heavens and prophesy this and pray that. If we don't know it by the Spirit, it's just empty words. And the more you do it, the more frustrated you get. We have to know this. We know the things freely given to us by God. That's the Spirit's mission, to make that our reality. And I don't know if we need to read anything more on this. well, just the last part of verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. This is the process that's going on within us. John 5:19. This is how Jesus lived. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." This is it. This is the seeing is doing. This is what true ministry is all about. Jesus said it was nothing in himself that would perform the greater works as a human being. What he saw the Father doing, his eyes were open to see in the realm of heaven, he was enabled to express and manifest in earth. What is the will of God? What is true in heaven become true and real on the planet earth, right? This earth here, this earth around us. And that's what Jesus walked and lived. I don't understand this. To me, it's kind of a mysterious thing how when you can really see and behold the Father, it has a way of neutralizing the ego, of purifying. You know, we look at our humanity and how often it gets in the way of everything. But when our eye is single, something happens. Our whole body becomes full of light. When we can truly see him, your ego, your mind is not going to stop what you see from manifesting on earth. This is what Jesus expressed. He said to Philip, wasn't it one of his disciples? He goes, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." This is what he brought to planet earth. He didn't just do works. He saw what God was doing in the heavenly realm. He didn't just do that work. He actually expressed the very presence of God through that work. We're called to that same level. And I'll tell you, I think it's going to change how we view works. Don't we have kind of a scale right now? Someone serving soup in a soup kitchen, that's good, but that's not quite as important. Someone healing someone of a major disease, well, that's way up there. And we rank things, don't we? I'll tell you what, we're going to change our thinking about this. Someone that's serving soup in a soup kitchen that's seeing the Father doing that, that's acting on spiritual perception, is bringing the very presence and life of God into that kitchen. That's a greater work. Somebody else has a gift of healing, and they've got a big tent out somewhere, and there's healings taking place, but also there's throngs of people that are not glorifying God. They're glorifying the person doing it, and this person may be getting very rich off doing it. I'm not saying anything like that could happen, but just in case, you know, maybe once or twice in history we've seen that, huh? Okay, you have a gift in operation that everybody is going, "Oh, wow, look at the wonderful things that are happening." But if God's not getting the glory and God's not being seen, that is definitely a lesser work. See, we evaluate by the work itself. Does it seem important enough? God is saying, "My will is that I can manifest on planet Earth. And if I'm going to manifest through my people." So a greater work is where God himself can appear through what's being done. We're going to close with this example of this in John chapter 11. And you're all very familiar with the story here. Lazarus, raised from the dead. I think we really see this level of ministry from seeing what the Father's doing and expressing it. When Lazarus was sick, Jesus was alerted to it, and Lazarus was his friend. I mean, there was not just somebody he'd never met before, not that that would make any difference, but there was an emotional connection with him. In verse 4, chapter 11, Jesus heard it. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Okay, we tend to be dominated in our thinking by needs. And if there is a need, someone's sick, that's all we see. The will of God is make it go away, heal it, take care of it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm sure that's part of the will of God, but in God's realm, there's a lot more going on than just the need. The need right here is Lazarus is sick. Jesus can heal it. Let's get Jesus over to where Lazarus is at. Take care of it. Yet Jesus is saying, this is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. He's looking, and already he's seen something more than a simple healing taking place. He's realizing that God wants to do a lot more in the situation. So he delays going, doesn't he? And nobody can understand why. Jesus didn't have a watch. It seems like God doesn't own one either, does he? Time is such a torment to us. In verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And Mary echoed the very same thing a little bit later in the chapter. But Jesus saw what the Father was going to do. And he saw that it could only be done through a resurrection from the death, not just someone being sick that was healed. Something more had to take place. And the big problem I think we have with this whole realm of seeing God, it's not that we don't want it, but one of the big issues is when we decide that we're going to behold what the Father's doing and just follow that, all of a sudden, our timing's not controlling things anymore, is it? That's the problem, isn't it? If we say we're going to look and see what God is doing, it's on God's terms, in God's timing. How frustrating is that? Because again, we're need conscious. We're aware of things that have to be done. And we're aware of time, how things need to be done. When someone's sick, you don't wait till they die to show up, right? Unless God's doing something more than just healing a sickness. But this whole realm of beholding the Father is going to release us from this bondage to time and our impatience, our thinking of things have got to be done my way in my timing. Oh, because when it's the Father we're looking at, it's his way, his timing. Now again, there's that, you feel that death working, kind of like our mind wants to be in charge, and all of a sudden, if I'm looking at God, my mind's not in charge anymore. First of all, I don't even understand the depth of what God wants to do in the situation. I just see the need. God wants to do a lot more. And second, I've got to follow what he says. This was hard for Jesus because Jesus loved Lazarus. He was close to him. He felt the pain of Martha and Mary and those that were around. He felt their confusion, their disappointment. Yet he was not moved by that. Remember what he said in John 5, I only do what I see the Father doing. What a wonderful place to be in. We go through this chapter. What things open up when God is appearing? Okay, he's coming. He's doing more than a miracle. He's manifesting the very presence of God. Well, in verse 21, he has a discussion with Martha about the resurrection. She's stuck on a level of theory. And Jesus looks at her and says, I'm the reality of that theory. You're looking at the living proof of what that scripture is all about. So in this whole process of Lazarus, it's not just about Lazarus, is it? It's about Mary, Martha. It's about the people that are around. Jesus is revealing himself and what the truth is. Whenever God moves again, it goes beyond the need. There's just a flow of revelation and truth that will be flowing with whatever ministry is taking place. We go on down in verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Okay, this whole thing of Lazarus being dead and being dead so long was very important. Why? Because God was appearing and there was something of faith coming alive for people. Now, not at the moment when they looked and saw the dead body, but when Jesus performed the miracle, there was an impartation of faith. And he said here, you will see the glory of God. See, God wanted to reveal his glory in this situation. We look at things and say, well, why hasn't it worked out the way I want it to work out? I mean, I made it very clear to God. what the need is. I know he understands the need, but what we don't see is how God wants to reveal himself to us, not just answer our prayers and what we want. He wants to show us his glory. So the question is, what has to happen in our life for that to take place? In this situation, this circumstance had to be just the way it was for the glory of God to be revealed and for there to be a level of revelation and faith created in people that were a part of this. He calls Lazarus forth, and of course, the great miracle takes place. Verse 44, he who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with the cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. I love this verse because when God is showing up, it's never a one-man show. You know, I think so much of the church age has been centered on just certain people. Really, the more the presence of God that comes forth as people are seeing what he's doing, it's just going to energize the true body ministry. It gets the whole body moving. What Jesus is doing here, he performs this fantastic miracle, raising someone from the dead, but he doesn't unwrap the grave clothes. He says to those standing around, you do that. What are the grave clothes to us? I mean, I have something very clear in my mind. My thinking is the grave clothes. Can you relate to that? We have this life coming forth in us. What blocks that life? What holds it back, either in our awareness or in its expression? Just our thoughts. They wrap around us. They blind us. They oppress us. And what he's saying is, okay, you that are standing by, take off those bindings. Such a beautiful thing is happening, will happen in the body. As the Father is being manifest through his works, the body ministry, every joint supplying, is going to be moving in such a greater way than we've ever known. And those grave clothes, the thoughts of the carnal mind, are going to be, we're going to unwrap it for one another. Through impartation, that's always a good way. You know, just the synergism of the body, just fellowshipping one with another, spirit to spirit, your eyes be open to things, grave clothes will come off. But it also happens when we're challenged by one another. In relationships, you may be defending a thought. I think we're all this way in our natural state, with our minds. It's a lifetime of becoming defensive, defending our position. We're very good at rationalizing, very good at being defensive. That's all part of the ego. And God says, okay, I'm here. I put you in this many-membered body. You're here because I want to unwrap you. All the death that's in your thinking, I'm going to take it off so you can see who you really are in me. And he uses other people to do that. So sometimes when you're being challenged in a relationship, whether it be in the marriage or in friends or whatever, and you feel that defensive reaction, could it be God leading in a way for someone to unwrap some of that death? You know, in the natural mind, even though it knows it's grave clothes, it clings to it. That's all it knows. It doesn't want to let go of it. But we need to be open. I'm not saying every time we're in conflict with someone or someone's challenging our thinking, it's the Spirit moving, but I am going to say that sometimes it is. It is the Holy Spirit that wants to change how we think. And we have to recognize and say, Lord, that's you. Just take away that death. Unwrap that cloth. This is the process that's taking place with us. All of this surrounding a miracle. Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But it wasn't just for Lazarus, was it? But the Father appeared and ministered to so many others that were there. We have no way of fully understanding the depth of ministry that takes place. It's on so many different levels when the presence of God is real in what we do. So, Father, just free us in our thinking from how we view works and what we term important, not important. Father, what's important is that our eyes are open to the heaven, the realm of heaven. That like the Son, Lord, we can see you. We can see the Father. We can behold you. And then we can be aware that, God, this is how you're visiting and manifesting and living on planet Earth is through us, through the body of Christ. That's how God's going to be real.